This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies.
Hello, and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. My name is Eric Wicklund, and I'm the editor of mHealth Intelligence, one of the sites of the Xtelligent Healthcare Media Network. I'm talking today with Dr. Sierra Christensen, a pediatric physical therapist who recently launched her own telehealth business in Texas. We'll be discussing why telehealth is such an important tool for this particular field of care delivery and how care providers might be able to adopt these concepts for their own programs. Hello, Dr. Christensen.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you today?
I'm good.
Let's get right into this, what's going to be a fascinating conversation. You're a pediatric physical therapist with your own telehealth business. How did these two come together? How did you first get into telehealth?
kind of by a long journey. So I worked in a lot of different settings. I've worked in school districts, home health, multiple outpatient clinics, all in pediatrics. And so while I loved those settings and different aspects of those settings, I felt like I was somewhat restricted in the ways that I could treat and ways that I believe could be more efficient and effective for our patients. I had heard a little bit about telehealth being used and I was intrigued. And so I tried to do a little bit more research on it. And most of the studies and the education out there at that time was about general orthopedic outpatient rehab and nothing really pertaining to pediatrics. And so I took a crash course on kind of the basics behind telehealth. And then after that, I was kind of hooked. I thought about a bunch of different things, and it was really a combination of two things that I love, which is technology and also providing care to children and families. So I thought about a majority of what I did in my daily jobs, and I realized that it was a ton of education, whether it be to the kiddos that I was treating, who understood cognitively what we were doing and were curious why we were doing it, to teachers with kiddos with individual education plans and special needs, their care providers and the parents on their session performance activities, and then recommendations that they could do at home. And so after thinking about it, I kind of felt like the pediatric family population was pretty much a perfect fit for the telehealth model, because with telehealth, you're using more of a coaching and teaching method than really a hands-on, of course. And so I love to be creative and I love to make visuals and, you know, education materials. And so I use those with my kiddos and families. And I use those in more of the asynchronous type of telehealth, which is the storm forward. And so that is kind of how developed pediatrics kind of came to be. It was kind of a decision that I made wanting to maintain more of a work-life balance because I am a mom of two little boys as well. So
what are the particular telehealth benefits for your patients? How do you compare this to in-person care?
Yeah. So for my families and my kiddos, I'm able to instruct the parents and caregivers or the school staff, whoever it may be, on how to be kind of my hands and how to deliver the therapy to the child. I believe that this leads them to be more comfortable with being hands-on. And then also we see better implementation of the home program because the family and caregivers have a better understanding and they are present and active throughout the session. That being said, there's also accessibility. So, you know, if someone lives in a slightly rural area without access to specialists, they don't have to drive, you know, 2 to 4 hours to go to a clinic and do that multiple times a week. They don't have any drive time locally to a clinic. They don't have to find childcare for any other children that they may have to take those children to therapy. There's also a lot of waiting lists at clinics, so there's no time spent waiting on those. And then right now, especially, which is very important, you don't have any exposure to any illnesses. So that's a big piece. And then for the parents, they don't need to take off additional work to, you know, sort out everything and go and wait at the clinic for the therapy appointment. And then also, I'm able to provide real-time feedback on that person's handling and positioning of the child and give, you know, recommendations and tips on how to improve that.
Now, are you strictly telehealth now, or do you balance telehealth with in-person?
Right now, I am strictly telehealth. I felt like this was definitely the way to go. And then when COVID-19 hit, it definitely is the way to go right now.
With this platform, how many patients are you able to treat in, say, a day or a week?
It varies really about what the provider wants. Since I want to be more part-time because I'm mom the other days, I try to limit the patients that I take on so I can give them my full concentration. Telehealth does rely on a bit more pre-planning, I would say, just to convert what you were going to do in the clinic to be appropriate to be delivered via this telehealth delivery method. That can kind of fatigue you when you're first starting out. You have to go back to, you know, your education and your knowledge base and really delve into why am I doing what I'm doing and how can I do that without physically being present.
Are there resources that you drew upon to understand how to go from in-person to telehealth?
Other than, you know, taking the crash course on kind of just the basics of how to do telehealth, there are, you know, some groups out there on social media of different providers that have been in the field a little bit longer. So I did, you know, reach out to them. But other than that, I kind of just dove in and kind of did trial and error.
I've seen telehealth used in physical therapy for post-operative rehab and some care management for chronic conditions. What's telehealth's particular value to pediatric physical therapy?
Yeah, so I think that on the provider side and for this clientele, I think that it's the accessibility for the provider as well. So if you are working in home health, you no longer have to go from house to house and have that, you know, 45-minute drive time in between. You're able to see more patients and give them your full attention. You also have direct contact with the parents and caregivers throughout the whole session. And so I think that that provides invaluable feedback on what they're thinking, what their struggles are, and you can problem solve in real time. And as for like startup costs, you don't have any facility costs or insurances for said facilities. And so it makes your overhead fairly low to start out. And I think that that's pretty attractive to, you know, practitioners that maybe want to do their own thing, but yet don't necessarily want all of the risk involved with opening up a brick and mortar location. I know that that was a big factor in me going telehealth, is the overhead costs are low and then the risk is low as well. And then, of course, you know, autonomy is a big deal. You're able to kind of do more of what you want on your own time and how you want to do it. But then that, of course, depends upon your business and your payer models and things like that.
And this is a good platform for working with children? And you're working with very young children too.
Yes, yeah. Just to throw out a couple of common conditions, I treat a lot of torticollis and plagiocephaly. And so those are infantile conditions that are very easily treated via telehealth. It's a lot of educating the parents, demonstrating stretches, strengthening, positioning techniques in their own home, and then having them follow through on that basically the whole day. I can't think of a better condition to do that than telehealth, because you have frequent follow-ups to make sure that, you know, the residual head tilt is progressing, and then also you can continually monitor head shape and things like that. Telehealth isn't appropriate for everyone, but that being said, I think that everyone can kind of benefit from telehealth, just if it is from the education piece. The more knowledge that our patients and our families and our kiddos have, the better the outcomes are going to be.
Now, how did you choose the telehealth technology that you're using?
So basically, I went online and I searched for HIPAA compliant video conferencing platforms. I found one that was reasonably priced and HIPAA compliant and was easy to use on my end and on the patient end. I made sure that it offered me the BAA to make sure that it is HIPAA compliant, to make sure that they're handling the patient's health information correctly. I use another platform for my secure email and then my documentation system as well.
Now, aside from HIPAA compliance, you know, with physical therapy, are there certain audiovisual features or functions to a telehealth platform that you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to have all the bells and whistles when you are doing telehealth. So by that, you know, if you have the ability to share your screen, then you can share a video of something that you want the child to do. Or you can share a game with them and you can play interactively with them. You can also play music for them, have kind of a reward motivator that way. And then also you can use kind of the whiteboard feature to write back and forth. And if you get consent from the parents to take screenshots, then you can actually use the screenshots to write on and to annotate. So basically the parents know what in that shot is good and what they could improve upon.
Are there other tools or technology that you'd like to include or you'd like to use that you just haven't been able to find yet?
I guess I would love to have something that really was all-encompassing and affordable. There are softwares out there that have all the bells and whistles and everything is in one place, but then for a sole practitioner, it kind of is not feasible on a monthly basis to get those types of things. And so you definitely can just make do with piecing it out, and you can actually do that for really cheap. That's kind of the way I've gone about it. And I feel like I have what I need right now to be effective in my treatments, and everything else is kind of a nice to have.
Is the technology separate from the medical record, or is there a way of keeping all that together on one platform?
There is a way of keeping that all together. The way I do it, though, I use separate. My email and my documentation system are actually together, but my video conferencing is a separate thing.
So what are the biggest challenges you face in using telehealth?
Mainly, it's a mind shift for you, the practitioner, being able to see your value in doing things other than being hands-on. And I feel like in physical therapy, we all pride ourselves in our manual skills, and that's pretty much what everybody thinks about when they think about physical therapy. But once you get your mind shift to more of the coaching model and the teaching model, then I feel like it's a lot easier to kind of allow yourself to expand your horizons, and you're not just as good as your hands anymore. You can share your knowledge. And then you also have to change the caregiver's mindset. Some of them find it difficult to see the same value in therapy when I am not the one actually physically putting my hands on the child. And then others, truthfully, they don't want the added responsibility of actually performing the therapy and the activities with the child. They feel like it is too much of a time investment on their part, which, you know, is something that I think we need to address anyway, because for some parents, they just drop their kiddo off and they're like, okay, I'll see you in an hour. They don't necessarily implement any of the techniques that we are working on at home. And then you can definitely see that the impact and the outcomes are not as good as we would like. And so I think that once we kind of change that perception, I think that parents will be more willing, because it definitely empowers the parents and the patients to control their own care. And so that becomes very evident in their outcomes, whether or not they're truly invested in what we're doing. Another difficulty I've had as a sole provider, I'm also private pay. So it's difficult to find a continuous client base since I don't have a physical location at all. So that has been kind of a learning curve as well, as just how do I find my clients?
To touch back on the first issue. So part of the problem then is educating parents on the value of pediatric physical therapy.
Yeah.
What do you tell them to show them that this is an important concept?
I have tried to share evidence. So statistics I've found that are very, very striking tend to make a positive impact on parents. You know, I use a lot of studies done by the Center on the Developing Child through Harvard. In early childhood, like 0 to 3 years old, they have found that 1 million neurons are formed every second during those 3 years. And so when you think about that, you're not just talking about physical well-being, you're talking about that whole child's health for the rest of their life. I have definitely noticed that if a parent typically was more involved in a physical location and implementing the home program that we had given them, they tend to be more willing and more active in telehealth as well.
So using a telehealth platform then would allow you to do more of this in the home, which sounded like it would be more conducive to getting parents involved.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you're only using things that they have available to them. So, you know, if you're working on strengthening, I mean, pretty much everybody can find a set of stairs. And stairs can be such a great thing for them to work on many different things, not just going up and down the stairs. And then also helping them position in their home environment. And I think that that's invaluable. And having the parents be the active participants in it, I think that's really, really important, because then they understand more. They are able to ask questions if they're not sure why we're doing something the way we're doing it. And so I think that as the education piece, it's just a better delivery method.
And how do you chart or measure progress?
So this is something that has been somewhat difficult. There are not really a lot of assessments to choose from that are actually norm referenced to telehealth delivery for pediatrics. And so you have to be careful on which ones you're actually administering. Some of them are going to be pretty much impossible to administer via telehealth anyway. And then others are going to be very, very difficult for the parents to try to get their child to do all of those tasks. Even if you could get them to do it, then you don't have anything to compare it to, because the studies were not conducted via telehealth. So this is something that kind of is a work in progress. I feel like a lot of companies are coming up with ideas for this. You know, I've actually been able to work with a company that, you know, is trying to track head shapes. They're able to actually, you know, scan the head while we are talking and kind of track progress that way. As for like torticollis and things like that, there are different apps that you can use to kind of generally assess the tilt. But you also have to just really rely on your basis of your education. So that being said, it really plays upon your clinical judgment and what you're seeing them do. And then really being as descriptive as you can be. I've kind of developed my own functional checklist that I go through, and I not only state whether or not a kiddo is able to do that movement, but I also write a lot of notes describing how they did it. So the quality of the movement rather than can they just do it, yes or no. And then I use that to kind of track progress that way.
Sounds like this is an area where providers can be creative. You can work a little bit on what you want to measure and how you want to measure it.
Yeah. And of course, you're kind of held by whatever your payer source is, what their requirements on, you know, compensation is. But in the private pay model, you're pretty much open to, you know, doing what you feel is right as a clinician. And that's really rewarding because you are able to be super creative and you're able to come up with something that works for you and your patients.
In terms of reimbursement, you mentioned private payers. Do they see the value of a program like this? Are they reimbursing for these types of services?
So that has been an issue. It depends on which state you live in, which payers you're working with, all sorts of things. And that is why I've kind of taken the self-pay route, because I started before all of the different payers were kind of allowing telehealth to be compensated. And so since I started out earlier, it was very ambiguous and, you know, it still is. And I feel like things are changing all of the time with different payers.
With the ongoing coronavirus issue, a lot of care has been moved to the virtual realm. There's a lot more telehealth now. Because of that, were you able to find a more receptive audience for telehealth because of COVID-19?
Yes and no. One thing I am grateful for is just the exposure that telehealth itself has gotten. You know, it's put it kind of in the public's eye so that they're aware that that's even a thing. Whereas before, I don't feel like a lot of people even knew what it was. But that being said, since everybody has kind of flooded into the telehealth market, it's kind of been like the wild, wild west all over again, because, you know, with HIPAA being waived right now and payers allowing many different things that they normally don't allow, some clinicians that aren't necessarily into telehealth for the long term, they may just be turning to the quick solution for right now. So I don't feel like using FaceTime or WhatsApp, any of that is necessarily the best practice for patient care. And so that has also kind of given us a bad name in a way, because there are so many people that are just going out there and kind of haphazardly throwing things together, and then the care ends up not being as quality as we would like. And so then that kind of taints telehealth as a whole too. So it's kind of a pro and a con.
You mentioned before the issue of getting your name out there. How do you get patients for this service? Do you work with primary care providers or health systems to get them to recommend you?
Yeah, so this has been a very big learning curve for me. So actually what I had to do was I had to hire a business coach to kind of teach me the ins and outs of marketing and sales and really, you know, owning and operating a business. And all of that stuff we're not taught within our schooling. At least in my education, we weren't. And so I was really, you know, clueless as to, okay, I have a business, but nobody knows I exist. So now what? And so, you know, I've really tried to educate myself on a lot of organic advertising and creating content to help people along while promoting my services. You know, social media definitely is a place where I am, you know, trying to be more active. And then I'm also, you know, trying to work with different providers that maybe don't have a, you know, big health system connected to them. So pediatricians that do own their own practice and they don't have a health system with physical therapy connected to them. And that way I can provide the care that their kiddos would need. Because I've realized that the bigger health systems, they already have a physical therapy department, you know, and so they're pretty much staffed that way. Another idea that I was thinking about, you know, is trying to go to different school districts and to try to see what we can do that way. But that's also an evolving piece. They're kind of all up in the air with what they're doing for the upcoming school year as well.
Yeah. So there is a lot of competition in this particular market.
Yeah, there is actually. People think that right now I'm rolling in all of these patients, but it actually does take a lot of work to get that. And, you know, since I am trying to move towards more of a one-to-many model rather than just a one-on-one all of the time, and to try to, you know, promote my online courses to educate parents for more prevention than typically what we see. We're more of a reactive society here. Trying to get awareness out there is, that's my biggest passion right now, is the awareness and the prevention of these different conditions, that some of them can be avoided completely if everyone knew the red flags and got them in early. Because, you know, many studies have shown that the earlier you do get intervention and therapy, the better the outcomes are. And the more cost-effective they are for everyone.
And it sounds like a telehealth platform is a good way of standing apart.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, another thing that telehealth is great for providers is quick screenings. So, you know, if a parent is not sure, like whether or not they should be concerned about a certain aspect of their child's development, you know, all they have to do is book a really cheap, painless screening. And then, you know, that provider can screen for the different conditions and say whether or not they recommend a full evaluation be done. That is another way to kind of get your name out there and also provide value to the community for a fairly low time and money investment on your part.
As a kind of a closing question here, you know, what advice would you give to somebody else that wants to get into this field? You know, what should they be doing and what should they be watching out for?
I would definitely recommend taking a telehealth basics course, just really relating to their specific profession, whatever they're in, and then also the target population of their ideal client. And then I would recommend that they weigh out the pros and cons of accepting different insurances and different business models. And then also, I would highly, highly recommend that everything you do be HIPAA compliant, even with the special waivers currently in place, just because it is best practice. You definitely have to be your own advocate and you have to do your own research. It takes a lot of research. Also, don't be sold into thinking that you need the latest and greatest platforms and everything else that people are trying to sell you now, because it isn't needed. Really, what you need is very, very basic. So just, you know, keep it simple. Don't overthink it. You basically treat the way that you would treat in the clinic with just a little bit of adaptations to do it virtually, and then a little bit more pre-planning on your side, letting the families know in advance what to expect and what to have on hand on their end of things. That's that's what I would recommend, is just being comfortable with maybe taking a less traditional route than what you were taught in school.
Those are all fine observations. Sierra, thank you very much for participating in this conversation today. This has been wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what questions might you have as a solo doctor or small practice looking to implement telehealth? What advice would you like on launching such a service? Share this episode on Twitter, tag us at mhealthintel or me at @erowick, and tell us what you think. Thanks for listening.
This has been an Xtelligent Healthcare Media production.